Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, blessed souls, here it comes, the higher inner dimension of Blog Talk Radio Soul Class. This is Soul Class 435, and we're glad to be alive because we're staying alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. Today's class is Whose Presence is Divine? Presentation number 13. We're broadcasting live right now at about 10:03 from Turtle Island, Eastern Standard Time, a.k.a. the USA, whose inner content and intent is to unify souls actually. Today we'll be focusing on a Torah teaching that I know so many human beings want to learn more about, namely the Divine Presence, Shekhinah, which testifies about divine essence and being of our eternal Creator. We'll be plucking and sharing from teachings primarily from a Hasidic discourse delivered by the Lubavitcher Rebbe in 5711, which corresponds to the English calendar date of 1951. Our call-in number to listen, if you're able to get to a telephone, if you have to leave your computer, is 347-838-8669. Meanwhile, may the eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. And I do want to mention as well, blessed souls, although you can call in today, I will not be taking any phone calls, as I do like to have organic conversations with individuals. But I so too have been also instructed by my teachers that, as well, I should try to take one time a week just to kind of do solo, not Han Solo from Star Wars, but actually to bring out points which I might not necessarily have the time during the other different programs that we try to make during the week with our humble efforts. And with that being said, let's go right into it. Again, we are rooted in our perspective, in our presentation today, from a teaching from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Nachum Mendel Schneerson. And actually, I think as a courtesy, I'd like to thank those who on Facebook sent me out good vibes about today's program content, namely Sarah Vale Midiema, Henrique Henriquez, as well as Emerson McRaven and Deidre Foster. So thank you, blessed souls. And now, again, let's get back to our intent, program intent that we want to share with you. So our last program was in early December. I think it was December 12th on this concept. So we're just going to review something very tersely. Again, there were 12 other humble presentations about this concept of Shekhinah, whose presence is divine, and I just suggest you go to my wall page on blogtalkradio.com and just type in Don Zosia Goodman, and you'll see there's 434 archived versions, or 433, I think one we erased, because it was it was not plausible to keep on playing it, the archive version. And you can review those previous 12 classes as per your comfort level. So in contrast to what we previously discussed, which was, again, about, I guess, 5 weeks ago plus, our intent was to point out, blessed souls, that the purpose of all cause and effect relationships, ilo va'olo, connections, kasharim, and interactions, and configurations, partsufim, and yuchudim, and revelations, giloyim, is not for the sake of supernal, elevated realms hovering way above any semblance of human intellect, seichel enoshi, human superconsciousness or subconsciousness rooted in one's koach hamaskil, or innate human awareness, hakara anushi panimi. For such a scenario to be suggested is to erroneously promote an intention that the dissension from the light of divine countenance, the or shell of Panei Eloki, is somehow the primary intent, is to erroneously think that the primary intent is just to build up upper worlds. Now, of course, there are upper worlds which are very sublime, but this would present a contradiction in terms of what is the source for the creation. Makor shel briyah, makor dekula. If we are able to comprehend, as elucidated by the inner dimensions of Torah, Panimat Torah, that this blessed creation has manifested, and in fact has been revealed to we, tiny, puny human beings, as the power of the Creator's essence, Koach HaAtzmus, therefore we are empowered and blessed and anointed. Kulanu Meshuchim, Kulanu Mevorachim, and we can all access and process, if we wish to, out of our Bechira Chafshis, our free choice, to internalize that the Creator and the Creator's light, as expressed in the inner dimensions of Torah, known as Kabbalah and Chassidut, Iyu v'chayuhi, or chayihi chad, that he and his light, his divine light, are one. Creator, the Atzmus, or Mahus of Creator, the Borei Olam, is the Makor of the Metzius of Creator, Borei Olam, which is, again, one divinely connected to Creator's essence. Now, this type of interaction, which is way beyond our limited human understanding, is basically a type of divine synergy, which the Creator is not bound by this divine synergy, but this type of synergy has been revealed to us as something that the Creator wants to make known to us in order that our human ears and minds and hearts and souls can understand within our human intellect. So, the Creator's essence, being connected with Creator's existence, and Creator's existence being one and the same as Creator's essence, precludes any consideration of a primordial cause which preceded Chas V'Shalom, heaven forbid, the eternal Creator, which is basically what the Torah is instructing us, which is in contrast to Aristotle's viewpoint, I believe, which is pointed up by, I think, Maimonides, Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, the Nesher Gadol, the Great Eagle, that the creation itself is primordial of its own accord, which is extremely erroneous. Because all of creation, no matter how sublime it is, a force has acted upon it, a divine force, as we would like to remind all of you blessed souls, to manifest the creation as it exists with all of its pristine and godly mechanics. In addition, it is solely within the realm of Creator to create a finite, tangible existence out of absolute divine intermediary levels. Mamutzim Elokim Mugbalim, from one perspective, and also Mamutzim Elokim Bligvul, if we go back into the DNA of these divine intermediaries, which can be subclassified or classified into Madrega's steps, and Igulim Shokeser, various divine manifestations of desire of an attribute called Keser crown, which relates to even something above the divine attribute of kingship, of rulership. And therefore is solely within the divine will and wisdom that only Creator can do, is to create tangible existence, again, out of absolute nothingness, which is explained to us through the mechanics, the Torah mechanics, or the physics of Torah, those subject areas which we normally would call Kabbalah or Hasidus, or we can call the inner dimensions of Torah, Panimius HaTorah. With all the above being stated, it is not possible to assert the purpose of the creation process, experience, for all of us are living it, we are experiencing it. Again, the assertion is, it is not possible that all this was created just for the sake of supernally elevated worlds way beyond our realms of consciousness, which are accessible, have been made accessible to us in terms of learning about it through the prophets and the mystics of different ages, Israelite sages and even the Noahide sages. True, there is what to talk about when bringing to the attention of blessed souls that such exalted worlds can exist and do exist and will always exist. For instance, we can talk about the elevated world of Atsilus, the world of an intellect, Olam HaSeichel, which has been deemed by the divine will and wisdom as delineated in the axiomatic teachings of Panimius HaTorah, the in-dimensions of Torah, as quite a fitting abode for the revelation of concealment, which is also known as Giloy HaHelem. This is one scenario of how godliness is revealed from within a realm that always had that revelation, but it wasn't the appropriate time for it to be revealed. For instance, right now, anywhere in the earth, this blessed earth that we dwell upon, blessed souls, any place in the earth where we may go that is considered to be land, whether it be fertile, green pastures, productive farmland, or arid, barren deserts, if we drill deep enough, eventually we will reveal arteries of water and reservoirs of water and wellsprings of water and even an abyss of water, and even beyond that abyss of water, realms which we might not want to go to. But I'm sure there are certain people who would like to go to the very epicenter of the earth and see what's there. So that's revealing something that's there, but just hasn't been revealed yet to the human family experience in terms of soulful divine consciousness, which is accessible by the human mind. With that being said, this exalted realm of Elokus, for instance, from the world of Atsilus, the world of intellect, is merely testimony that from the light of Creator's divine countenance, there occurred, can occur, and in the future will always occur, a bringing down, a hamshacha, a dissension, a yerida, me'or panei yisbarech, from the light of the countenance, or me'or panei yisbarech, from the light of the allegorical face of the Creator. Panav is referring to the countenance of the Creator, the countenance of a, like on an allegorical level, at the simplest level for human beings, the countenance of a person is very much on display when a person smiles at another person. That is not just the muscle and nerves interacting with the various parts of the human face, because obviously there is an energy and a consciousness which is causing the lips of person number A to turn those lips upwardly towards the person that person A is intending his or her smile towards. And usually, when person A smiles at person B responds with not just a smile, but a feeling of goodness, a sense of it, someone extending to him or her a little bit of their countenance upon them. And then usually person B responds with a upward turning of his or her lips towards person A to transmit their countenance to them. But on a deeper realm, from the countenance of the divine light of Creator, may he be blessed and revealed to our expanding blessed human family consciousness, consider, please, if you can, blessed souls, when the divine lights of Atzilus, the Oros Elohim, of Atzilus, Olam HaSeichel, the world of intellect, are concealed, those lights still, before they are revealed to us within our realms of existence, are reckoned to be very high quality expressions of divinity, godliness, alas, to the lack of recognition by most of the creation, aside from a few righteous souls in every generation who know how to interact with that divine light which is concealed from us until they are, so to speak, given the divine green light, allegorically speaking, to explain to us what is going up in upper realms. For most of us, blessed souls, are souls of the realms of thought, speech, and action, where it is incumbent upon us not to try to promote false visions of our own false imaginations, but rather to try to understand the instruction of those righteous souls, which are known as the souls of Atzilus, the souls of the world of intellect, Neshamat Shel Atzilut, or Atzilus, and see if we can internalize it within our own cognitive processing abilities. To access now, which were previously concealed divine lights of consciousness, become accessible to us within the teachings of Panemius of Torah. Yet, blessed souls, even when these lights, these oros, which were previously concealed within the world of Atzilus, the Olam of the Ein Sof, not just the world of intellect, but the world of infinity, become revealed to us via elucidations by tzaddikim, righteous souls, let's say like the Rambam, and Moses, and Samuel, Shmuel the Navi, or Noach, Noam, Methuselah, going way back into ancient times, and Chanoch, an original man, Adam, and his son, Seth, or Shes. These revelations are not the ultimate testimony regarding the essence of Creator. The essence of Creator is already connected to the entire purpose of the lowest of all these blessed worlds that we inhabit at every level, not just as we cognitively perceive and internalize such wondrous instructions via the tzaddikim, the righteous souls of this blessed creation. Now, with the above being stated, Rabbi Dov Ber, the second Lubavitcher Rebbe, also known as the second Chabad Rebbe, elucidated for his and future generations the difference between supernal unseen worlds and the lights, the oros that are contained within those olamos, and this world which we dwell within and upon. Rabbi Dov Ber, a.k.a. Der Mittler Rebbe, taught that this world, the lowest realm of all of this blessed creation, can in fact produce a paradoxical, and I guess you can say even contradictory feeling, that this blessed creation's existence is from this blessed creation's essence, nirgash b'metziso ma'atzmuso, meaning we can be fooled into thinking that everything exists comes from ourselves to the exclusion of a creator higher than us. And I guess this super consciousness is probably one of the driving forces behind agnostic and atheistic thinking. So while we wholeheartedly reject the theological or spiritual, whatever you want to call sociological viewpoints of an agnostic atheist in the name of the well-thought-out and well-trodden paths of the inner dimensions of Torah, we also can express our empathy for their consciousness, and I would add my sympathy for their consciousness, that there is a certain type of hard wiring within human consciousness which could mislead a human being into thinking that his or her existence is coming from their essence. Of course, every human being would acknowledge that every human being ever born, aside from Adam and Eve, were the byproduct of a three-part configuration. The blessings of the Creator, well, for agnostic or atheist, perhaps they would just say chemical reactions, and the male species of the human family experience, and the female species. Still, we can parenthetically clarify with better understanding, enabling we blessed souls to consider the difference between a created entity and the divine light which manifested and eventually revealed into that created entity. Let's say, for instance, a human being. Ahefresh ben hanivra lo'or eloki, divine light, is tangible proof and testimony that that light was not created of its own, but there is a source to that light, there is a source to that energy. We can readily observe, on the other hand, in relation to a created entity, like, say, a good old human being, who, heaven forbid at times, can project out a consciousness devoid of awareness of our blessed eternal Creator, this good old type of human being can actually appear to be hiding and concealing consciousness of our one true Creator via his or her thoughts, speech, or action. And as well as Mr. or Ms. good old human being can appear to him or her that his or her existence is from their own essence, again, due to their root and source is from the essence of their existence. But what is the essence of their existence? We firmly assert that none other than their essence, which is directly mandated by the Creator to be revealed within this blessed creation, with also the blessing and free choice to even deny the fact that their essence is coming from a blessed Creator. With all the above being said, there overtly occurs another difference between Or, light, and Nivra, created entity. While on the one hand, both are emanations from one perspective and created entities from another perspective, a Nivra, as manifested as a human being, can access two modes of service revealing the essence of godliness, not readily accessible by the Or or the divine light itself, which needs elucidation, but we're going to be turning down our efforts right now, blessed souls, sort of winding down our humble efforts today to assert that hopefully we'll continue in this mode of presentation on a weekly basis on Thursday mornings around this time, anywhere between 9:30 and 10 or 10:30, 10 o'clock and 10:30 a.m. But I would like to leave you with something that I think you can implement in your own practical blessed lives, even though it might seem a mundane experience. I think if you probe it, you might find the divine presence within this divine from this mundane experience of thinking well about other people. That we
should consider ourselves obligated at any point in time during the day to think about our friends. Now, this has to be, of course, at a time that we can afford to do it and not in jeopardize our jobs or whatever activities we're involved in, which wouldn't endanger ourselves and others. I mean, we should take the time to think about how we love our friends. We love our family. And last but not least, we love our Creator. We love our teachers. And if, heaven forbid, if our teachers, our parents, our family members, our friends in our community are in pain, that we should partner with them in their pain to comfort them. Because there is nothing worse, blessed souls, when a person's in pain and they feel there's no one there to alleviate his or her pain. Therefore, healthy human intellect, which is directly configured to our divine image, requires us to make an effort any time, not only to partner with a person to offer him or her consolations over their pain, but also to try to partner with him or her to collaborate with them to help them feel better. And it might be just with a word, it might even be just with a good thought or prayer from a distance, but try it. See if you will experience an upliftment. And if you feel you're getting an upliftment and an empowerment, you're experiencing a giloy, shanefesh, a revelation of your soul, and don't be surprised when you come to discover on the short-term and long-term basis that what's empowering those soul, that soul being revealed to you, that energy, that sense of, I can do this and I didn't think I could do it before, now I want to try to do more, well, the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, is there, because the Divine Presence dwells where there's humility, recognition of one's blessings, and the realization that more and more good can come into this world if we want to do that good. Shekhinah is very much connected. Divine Presence is connected to acts of kindness. Now, an act of kindness which was performed earlier this week was in the face of a horrible tragedy which took the life of young Rabbi David Winears, who passed away earlier this week, who had some axiomatic sayings, which I'm going to read to you, blessed souls, and then segue into David Dohm, our wonderful brother, who I would have to say this is, if not directly, it was smacking on the face of divine inspiration, Ruach HaKodesh, with how he took those few words from Rabbi Winears of blessed memory and turned it into this wonderful, thought-provoking song. So here's the wisdom of Rabbi David Winears, and then we'll go into David Dohm's song. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your laughs instead of your tears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. And maybe we'll accomplish this. We should count on this in a way of Ahava Chad, one love, Goral Chad, one destiny, Kulan of all of us. V'darchi Shalom, in a peaceful, darchi Noam, in a pleasant way. L'ham Shich, to be continued. Consider with the help of the Most High. And just remember, blessed souls, you can be good because the Tevel Hativ is initially good to do good, and you've been empowered by the fact you've been brought to the world by a Creator who only does goodness, to count your blessings and not your problems. Let's get back home with David Dohm. Funny how